Philip Ruby fought in Gallipoli in France in World War I.
January or February 15 that I enlisted. The feeling we had was that if the war went on, Germany won, we'd be under German rule.
Many young Australians, like Philip, enthusiastically joined up at the start of the war. But after years of heavy casualties, a national debate about whether to force men to fight through conscription had divided the country. Of the 416,809 men who enlisted, more than 60,000 were killed and 156,000 wounded, gassed or taken prisoner.
There's a lot that enlisted reckoned they'd get a trip to Europe and it'd be over by the time we got there.
Before they could get to Europe, the first waves of Australian volunteers were sent to Egypt for training. But soon plans changed after Britain and France decided to attack Turkey at the strategically important waterway near Gallipoli. So instead of Europe, many Australian troops were sent to this battleground instead.
We'd heard very little, only that we'd lost a lot of men making the landing. Heard there were so many being killed and wounded and so on. See, out of the men, the first lot that landed there, that they went for the beach. The Turks were on the beach with machine guns and they tore into them like blazes, mowed them down wholesale. Those that fell in the water, a lot of them were drowned because they were wounded and unconscious and they just fell in the water and drowned.
The terrain of Gallipoli could scarcely have been more difficult for an advancing army. A maze of steep ravines, gullies and dense scrub made the Anzacs' job almost impossible. The Anzacs were able to gain a toehold on a tiny slice of land only 2 kilometres long. But with Turkish forces on the heights above them, they were never safe from enemy fire.
Well, it's hard to describe how you felt. You had a bit of a fear. There's no good of saying you didn't. One gun the Turks had up in the hills used to shell the beach. Beachy Bill. The destroyers and the warships were patrolling up and down the coast there, only 2 or 3 miles off the coast, trying to locate where he was. Reckoned he was in a tunnel in the side of the hill. And he used to come out and fire a few rounds and then run back in the tunnel. Out of it. Well, the warship shelled it and shelled it for days. But as soon as they finished shelling it, it come a bit dark, Beachy Bill had come out and let go again. So they never ever got him.
Even though Australian troops were told terrible lies about the viciousness of the Turkish soldiers, Philip was circumspect.
No, they didn't hate them at all. Had to realise it was, if you didn't kill them, they'd kill you. That's the point in war. You go there, you go to kill or be killed, one or the other. There was one place we were on called Quinn's Post. There was only 5 yards between our lines and the Turk lines. We had wire netting up to stop them throwing bombs in. They had the same. And one old Turk used to call out every morning for a tin of bully beef. We used to throw him over a tin of bully every morning. As being a good Mohammedan, he was not supposed to eat it, but that didn't stop him. He ate it all the same.
After Anzac troops were evacuated from Gallipoli in December 1915, Philip was sent to fight in France.
First real big battle was the Somme. Carnage was something terrific. I've seen that night, the whole sky, the whole place lit up as brilliantly as daylight from gun flashes. They'd bring up the guns at night, they'd have the positions marked out, the guns would be brought up and they'd be standing wheel to wheel, lines of them, wheel to wheel, and there'd be another line of bit ahead of them or a bit behind them, wheel to wheel. and have the heavier guns further back, have them wheel to wheel. And if it was an advance for 4 or 5 minutes before they hop over by infantry, every gun that could be fired poured shells into that German line. They did the same. They poured the shells into us. But the whole sky, the whole place was lit up as brilliantly as daylight with the flash from guns. You couldn't hear anything, only just the one roar. That's why a terrible lot of soldiers, myself included, are half deaf now.
One especially horrifying feature of World War I was the widespread use of poison gases, which led to the agonising death of almost 100,000 soldiers. The use of gas in World War I so horrified the world, in 1925 countries signed the Geneva Protocol, banning its use in conflict.
See, the chlorine gas came as a vapour cloud that you could see. It was like a fog. It was, I think, one of the worst gases they ever used because it cut the lungs out of them. You've got a belly full of chlorine gas, you spat your lungs out. Oh, fellas there, it took them days and days to die, but die they would from chlorine.
Poison gas wasn't the only terrifying weapon of war. The Germans had developed a small, highly mobile mortar called a Mini-Werther.
Mine throwers. That was up in Ypres. The Germans up there had a real love for us. They used to send us over their turds. They get the shit tin and put it into a, like an oil drum. Mm-hmm. Put a tube down through it with explosives in it and a charge, and then fire that over. Fuse and the explosive time so that it get nearly to the ground when it exploded and burst and shit all over the place. Oh, we used to say it was better to get hit with their shit than their shrapnel. If it was at night, you could see it coming. You could always tell where it was going to go. And if it was coming towards you, well, you took to your heels.
They say an army marches on its stomach, but the problem of getting decent food to troops was a real one. The staple of Anzac forces was hardtack, made by Arnott's, a biscuit with an incredibly long shelf life.
I reckon some of those biscuits must have been in stock in the British Army for years before they were brought out. They dished up a rice pudding to us one day. When it was brought in, I had a look at it. I said, don't eat that stuff, that's weevil. When the officer come round to know if there's any complaints, I said, yes. Serious complaint. The rice pudding is weevil. He had a look at it. Turned to the ship provider bloke. What have you got to say about it? Bloke looked at it. Nutmeg, sir. The officer took another look. He said, it's the first time I've seen nutmeg with bloody legs and a trunk. So throw it overboard. We was right, it was weevils.
This audio package has been compiled for ABC Radio by Jacob Round and me, Tim Brunero, using sound recordings provided by the Australian War Memorial. The original interview was conducted by Kim Dixon and Don Hogan in the 1980s.